We discussed last week that we were talking about love. We spoke about the purpose of man in this world is to reach a level that the Rambam describes is a crazed love for the original creator, the master of the world. That's what we said is the purpose and our goal down here. Anybody hit that point of the week?
No.
Anybody work on it?
Yeah.
You did? And?
The very next day.
Isn't it?
My boss came up to me and asked me why I went crazy. He got into work and our company works on eBay. So, going back and forth between California and here in literally milliseconds, it's an amazing thing. So I'm sitting there 20 minutes staring at a screen. My boss comes in and is like, are you working or... are you crazy? I have to snap out of it and go back to work.
Yeah. I worked on it a draft. Which is a simple act. If I remember correctly, in the Chafetz Chaim, I tried finding it. The Mishnah Berurah, it's brought down that in the morning after we say Shema and we leave Shul after Shemoneh Esrei and Shacharis, you just finished saying Behafta Hashem Elokecha. So when you leave Shul, he says, make sure to take a glance at the world around you, to find something to appreciate God's wisdom and His creation as a fulfillment of the Haftas Hashem Elokecha that you just finished saying. Small little exercise, you know, doesn't have to be a day, you know, a whole long day thing. Small little exercise in the way back from Shul, you know. So we spoke about, that's what we spoke about last week. That is our goal. Our goal in this world is to hopefully try to reach as much of a level of love to God as possible, to the extent that we're living in such a dream of happiness and joy and pleasure that we're drawing from our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that it takes us to know God. And we said that could be in two ways, either from understanding His wisdom in Torah or through understanding His wisdom in creation. As we spoke. Now we're going to get to death. Death, its purpose, why it exists, why it had to exist, the way God designed Adam HaRishon in the first place.
Didn't he?
He wasn't supposed to die, right? He was supposed to make it till Shabbos, and Shabbos would have been Olam Haba. Now Shabbos is Yayin Olam Haba. We cannot totally rectify the world to make it that in the world we're still here should be complete Olam Haba. So we're going to discuss a little Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, Gan Eden, Gehenna, Death, Yisurim, the purpose of Yisurim. We'll try to cover a few bases.
If you might.
A little quick. I could be I mentioned this before. I had my kid in the car one day. And he said, Tati, tell me a story. Okay. So kind of got one of those good old stories. You know. And I told the story in the back pocket. I said, there once was a great tzaddik. And my son calls out from the back seat. And he was poor. We tend to assume, you know, there's the famous question, right? Why good things happen to bad people? Why bad things happen to good people? Famous, well-known question. Okay? There's no way to address each person separately, but we'll address the topic in a general point of view. But it's a problem if we think that the general rule is bad to good people. There's a problem. The system is set up that good things happen to good people. We say in Krishna every day, and it's not a joke. We say, V'haya im shamoa tishmu el mitzvosa yasher anokhi mitzvokha yod alo v'agvashinada. And the Pasuk says, what do we do? And you're going to bring in your grains. You're going to have parnassah, and the rain will come at its proper time. We'll be blessed in olam hazeh. So the status quo is supposed to be good people, good things. Even in olam hazeh. And it should be a question to us why sometimes we find that. But if it came to a point where that's the standard, he was a tzaddik and he was poor, there's a problem. A tzaddik naturally should be associated in our mind with having a good life. Doesn't mean a completely materialistic life. I'm not talking about a materialistic life necessarily. It doesn't mean he has to be poor. A tzaddik could be well off. Yeah, we have Gemara many times. And that is the standard. The status quo, we're supposed to see good people, good things, bad people, bad things. That is the way. That's the way it says in the Pasuk. Right? We don't keep the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, we get kicked down into exile. All in all of us. So it should remain a question by us when we see otherwise. So God created Adam HaRishon and he told him, okay, all we need over here for you to be a vessel to really, 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 really get close and enjoy the Ziv HaShekhinah, the complete awareness of the greatness of God, all you need for that is a few hours of keeping one positive commandment and keeping one negative commandment. That's all. You make it a Shabbos, that's it! If the world in its full glory, olam haba, awesome pleasure forever and ever, that would have been it. Okay? We're not going to go into all the, when he sinned and God broke up his neshama into millions of pieces spread throughout all the generations. We're not going to go into that right now. We're just going to discuss why it says, Adam HaRishon, as soon as he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, Tovara, he did his the improper thing. He took a step away from God, we may say. Right? And Hashem said, now you have to die. Get out of Gan Eden, because you may try to eat from the eggs. And you'll have everlasting life. But that's not good for you now. It would have been good for you if you would have made it to Shabbos. That would have been your Shabbos. If you would have made it, that would have been fine. But now that you ate from the Eitz HaDaas, the Eitz HaChayim is not good for you anymore. You're going to have to get out. To avoid the Eitz HaChayim, and now you have to die. Adam HaRishon is horrified. And as a result of that, we have Xmas.
Yeah.
Huh? Xmas? And New Year's. What are we talking about?
What's that cookie sound?
I just want to make sure everybody's up. Adam HaRishon is horrified! He's horrified! Death! I did the wrong thing and made the wrong choices. I'm further from God. I feel too materialistic now. It was horrible. And he starts doing tshuva. And it's brought down. He fasted, I don't know how many days. Fasted. He cried. He did tshuva. What made him so aware that death is coming? Because he saw the world was created in Tishrei. He saw suddenly, he started realizing that daylight was getting less and less as the days were going by. And he said, this is the death that God decreed. Obviously, the world is coming to its destruction. There's more night and more night and more night. The world is coming to its destruction. And he started doing tshuva. Till it came to the, what's it called, the equinox, but till it came to perfect in the winter, smack in the middle of winter. Suddenly he saw it starts getting longer. He said, wow, this is a whole question. His response was, oh, it's Teva Ha'olam. This is the way the world works. God accepted my tshuva. And he made a yontif. So where he made that connection between this is the Teva of the world and who said God accepted his tshuva. It's just the nature of the world. But okay, this is what Adam understood. And there is a connection. I spoke to a few people about it. That's not the topic. And he made a yontif for 8 days. And this became a holiday throughout the generations. Smack in the middle of the winter, there was an 8-day holiday for all the children of Adam. And that continued. He did it L'Shem Shemayim as a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for accepting his tshuva, and it developed into an Avodah Zarah holiday. To the extent that when Yashka was not born during that time, the Christians who were trying to convince all the pagans to join their religion, they were willing to move over Yashka's birthday, according to the records, to arrange that Yashka's birthday worked out according to the holiday that nobody was willing to change because it was such an old holiday. It's an amazing fact. And this is called in the Mishnayos Star Nura.
Yeah.
Star Nura. That's the name of the, that was the old name of the holiday.
Yeah.
Star Nura.
I never heard of
it. The guy's holiday?
Huh?
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's correct.
But that's a side issue. So Adam HaRishon did tshuva. God accepted his tshuva. So then the question is, then why do you have to die? Did tshuva. Why do you have to die? And the Ramchal answers as follows in the Sefer Derech Hashem. Says as follows. The body was designed mamish like a glove for a hand. The glove has no entity really in itself. It's just there as a skin on the hand to facilitate the hand. If the hand's cold, warm it. If you need a better grip, whatever it may be that you're wearing the glove for to protect it from heat, from cold. A glove is there as a skin to the hand, as a second skin to facilitate the hand. The body is there to facilitate the soul, to give it opportunities of getting closer to God. Idealistically, we were designed that the body should work in perfect, clear harmony with the soul. The soul does its job, the body is elated, enlightened, purified, elevated, in every sense of the word, to the extent that you could have people like Eliyahu HaNavi, that their body itself becomes one spiritual being, and he was able to go up to Shemayim with his body. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. He went up L'Shamayim with his body, 40 days, 40 nights. The body was designed not to be this unclarity in our awareness of God. It was designed that we should be able to have clarity with it in our service of God. But once the body is used materialistically, takes that step away from God, the body becomes an entity which, in the terms that are used in all the Svarim, becomes dark. The way I understand the word dark, what it means is we view things more materialistically, it limits our awareness of God. We become a little more sensitized to the fake spirit, physical world around us, and less aware of the spiritual side of God. There's a very, the world was created in a perfect balance. Perfect balance. That you were able to, Adam HaRishon was able to see the world and God behind it as one. Nature wasn't a separate entity from God. It was God acting through nature. Everything was working perfectly in harmony in that balance. As soon as that balance took a little tiny drop to the more materialistic side, that made the world, Adam and the entire world around him, slightly more materialistic than clarity of God's awareness would demand. Even if you rectify the sin, it doesn't change the fact that the body itself right now is too materialistic to fully absorb that purity and elevated level of working in perfect harmony with the soul. It can't work perfectly with the soul. And that is why death was required. Not as a punishment for sin. It wasn't a punishment. It was for Adam's own good. Because once the person did sin, he's never going to be able to elevate himself back to a point where the body can be in total harmony with the soul. The only way to stop it is like we have with a kli cheres. We have an example in the Torah. If an earthenware keli absorbs tuma, you break it. And the tuma's gone. When the body, the part of the body, I shouldn't even say not necessarily the whole body, but when the body dies, and the part of the body that became too materialistic decomposes, it's gone. God can now resurrect the body from a fresh new body that was never tainted, dirtied, darkened, or became too materialistic by sin. And that new fresh body is going to be able to work once again in perfect harmony with the soul to receive the massively elevated level of awareness and closeness to God. Body and soul together. But as long as the body has that materialistic side to it, not necessarily every part of the body, depending on the person who does sin, the part of the body that sin is done with, that body part is going to have to be recreated from fresh. And therefore, that body part, or the entire human being, depending on the sin and everything, is going to have to die. The body, or those parts of the body, will decompose and be recreated from fresh. So as soon as Adam messed up the balance of the world and brought more materialism to the world, it wasn't because of punishment that he had to die. Now for him to reach that special elevated level, his body's going to have to be recreated. So first he's going to have to die. And then it can be recreated. That's why there's death. And that's why we all know many, many stories of tzaddikim who, after digging up the graves, the body was in perfect condition. Only the parts of the body that did sin have to decompose. By tzaddikim, that'll be a very minute part of the body. By Rishayim, that'll be the majority. And that's why you dig up graves of Rishayim, you won't find nothing there. And you dig up graves of tzaddikim, you find bodies in perfect condition. Only the part of the body that did sin has to decompose and be recreated. When a person's body is pure, the body doesn't have to decompose. Of course, there's nobody that's going to be perfectly pure. Al-Hanavi, you have those extremely, 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 extremely rare instances of somebody that's completely pure.
Any other question?
But anybody else is going to have to die, and not the entire body has to decompose. Whatever part of the body sinned and became too materialistic is going to have to decompose. That's death. Yeah.
Any other question of, is there then teshuvah tomorrow?
Teshuvah will solve the punishment aspect. Death is not punishment. That's what I'm saying. Death is not punishment. Tzaddikim, they don't mind death. What are they scared of? What are they scared of? You got a little vacation from my own day. Go out to
the punishment can be wiped away, but if they were still there, then the physical pagam on the body,
that cannot be changed unless it is recreated. That's not punishment. That's metzias. That's science. That is the science of how the spirituality interacts with the physical world. The physical world has to be a receptacle for the spirituality. If it's too tainted and too materialistic, it's going to have to go through a reprocessing.
So once a part of the body becomes materialistic, it can't change back?
Not that I know of. We're going to give, at the end of it, getting later, at the end, I'm going to give a possible solution to that. We'll see. The question
like
is why that didn't apply to Adam and Rishon. But we'll see.
That's what I'm saying.
But everyone works on themselves. Everyone starts with...
We'll see.
Okay. He didn't do anything.
Possibly. We'll get to it. That may be the difference between Tshuva Meira and Tshuva Me'ahava. Tshuva Meira takes away the sin. Tshuva Me'ahava turns the sin into a mitzvah. It regenerates the skin. That's what Tshuva Me'ahava. Tshuva Me'ahava doesn't just remove sin. It recreates the sin into something positive. Now, I'm not one to judge Adam, and I did not see this anywhere in Adam, and that's why I can't say it definitely about Adam. But perhaps that's why Adam's problem was not solved. Perhaps his problem was Yira. He saw the destruction of the world, and that led him to tshuva. Possibly, that was a level of tshuva meyira. But I am not the one to judge Adam Rishon. I'm not saying that
right, no,
positively.
Right, but according to he was so far ahead of us, you know.
That, according to one's greatness,
imagine,
is also his mistake.
Right.
There's that equal balance. Okay? Everybody in those days were great, and everybody in those days had horrible failures. According to one's greatness, is his opportunity for failure. That's clear. So, I tell you, I'm not judging on this. I'm just going to give a possible solution, perhaps, that it's possible not just to take away a sin with tshuva, perhaps with the hava, you can mamash regenerate. You could regenerate, just like it says in the Gemara. It's a Gemara, it's not a Chassidus Shavar. It's a Gemara. Tshuva me'ahava, it says, turns averos into mitzvahs. Perhaps with that, yes, there's something called regenerating a pure limb in the body. It regenerates purity in the body where in place there was materialism. So that's the first phase. That is the point of death. Death is not necessarily punishment. Death is a way to get the body to regenerate and recreate in perfect purity so it can work in harmony with the soul, which according to the Ramchal, that is the true reward, the true intent of the creation was body and soul together enjoying God's presence. Not just soul. This is a machlokes between the Ramchal and the Rambam. All the Mekubalim go with the Ramchal. The Rambam seems like a das yachid on this. Everybody seems to be going with the Ramchal. That the true end, reward, and intent of the Bria Sa'olam was body together with soul, appreciating God's presence. Not just soul. When one dies and the body is dormant, whether it's decomposing or not decomposing, during that period of time, till we get to Tchias HaMeisim, a person goes through Gan Eden and Gehenim. And the sins he's done, he's going to feel the pain. We're not going to get into Gehenim right now, what it is and the Mashalim that Chazal give and discussing why there are different Mashalim for it. But for right now, there's an interim of pleasure and pain for the soul. In that interim, what some people refer to as an Olam Haba, the very, very more accurately written Suarim. You know, loosely, everything is referred to as Olam Haba. Guys, that is not Olam Haba. The more accurately written Suarim refer to Olam Haba as Tchias HaMeisim. And that's Gan Eden. It's Gan Eden and it's Gehenim, which is, the Ramchal says, is a Me'ein. It's a taste of what your true reward is to be. Your true reward is going to be 10 times greater because it's going to be what was planned to be, soul and body. And over here, in the interim, till Tchias HaMeisim, you're going to have a Me'ein of your true level of reward or a Me'ein of the true level of Oros. Okay, so we look around the world and we find many people extremely successful. We find some tzaddikim who have Olam Hazeh, some tzaddikim who don't have Olam Hazeh. Let's try to make sense. One thing we all know is pretty famous. It says that God pays evil people for their mitzvos in this world. And the very, very famous question on this is, Schar mitzvah dahai. It is impossible to repay for one mitzvah with all the goods of Olam Hazeh. One mitzvah. All of the good, you know what, all of the good? Not just all of the good presently in Olam Hazeh. All of the good collectively throughout the entire world in this time and throughout history is not enough to pay up for one true mitzvah. How on earth can God repay a Russia for his mitzvahs? The Olam Hazeh. Where is the equation? You're many trouble. For clarity's purpose, that's the point of the shir. I'm going to present to you what I feel makes it very, very clear and understandable. And this is based on a Ramban in Chumash Parshas Achrimos, and it's based on a Rambam in the last Mishnah in Seches Makis. Ramban says it's a beautiful Ramban.
Are they all?
All are. The question is, not all of them do we send for you. Zok the Ramban, he's based on a pasuk that uses four different phrases for people who follow Torah and mitzvahs. And the Ramban, on the pasuk, discussing this, he says, what's the four different phrases? Bechukosa telechu, and mishpatai tasu, chukosa tishmeru. What's all of these different phrases for going in my laws? Zok the Ramban. Ready? We're discussing people who are doing Torah mitzvahs. We're not discussing Rishon. We're discussing people who are doing Torah and mitzvahs. Zok the Ramban. People who do Torah and mitzvahs can be split into four categories of their approach to all Torah and mitzvahs. Of course, some mitzvahs will, you may, the exclusions to the rule will have a different approach to some mitzvahs and different others. But in general, you can split people up into four categories of people who are mekayim ratzon Hashem and do Torah and mitzvahs. And there's four different approaches. Zok the Ramban, according to their approach, is going to be their life in this world and the next, as he's about to describe. First is the lowest level. Are people who do everything for selfish, materialistic reasons. Tzedakah is for the name on the plaque. Chesed is so that people should like me. Tefillin, everything. Everything they're doing is for materialistic purposes. They're doing everything for Olam Hazeh purposes. They're very materialistic people, and they're keeping Torah mitzvahs, but they're doing everything from a materialistic approach. Zok the Ramban, you know what they're going to get for that? That's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah is spirituality. To the extent that the mitzvah you're doing is spiritual, you can't pay up for spirituality in a physical world. It doesn't fit. All the good in the materialistic world can't fit one drop of spirituality. It's a whole different monetary exchange. There's no exchange rate. My father's lost. There's no exchange rate. But when one does all his Torah and mitzvot, lo l'shem shamayim, not out of a relationship with God, his whole entire approach is olam hazeh, that's all he gets for it. That wasn't spirituality. That was materialism. You'll have materialism for it, no problem. And those people are extremely successful in olam hazeh. Massively successful in olam hazeh. Much more than the ordinary. Because they deserve it. They deserve it. Credit. And they're going to get all of their credit here. Now, I don't know, you know, call yourself Yeshalem Cholik Olam Abba. I'll probably, you know, maybe you'll have something in Olam Abba. But it's probably basically negligible. If the entire approach, most people are not to one extreme or the other. But we're going to break them up for clarity's sake into four groups. Someone who's entirely materialistic, that's what he's going to get. Materialism. Super unbelievable materialism. I don't know what's going to be for someone. If he does one mitzvah lishma, he'll get some. We're going to get to that in the wrap. But if everything he does is shelo lishma, amanas l'kabel pras, be'olam hazeh, that is what he's going to get. Pras, be'olam hazeh. Second class. someone who serves God out of fear. Fear and anticipation of Olam Haba. He's scared of Gehenna. He's scared of destruction. He's scared of his doom. So he's an Elohim. Torah mitzvahs. Sakta Ramban. Oh, he's concerned about Olam Haba. He's concerned a little bit about spirituality. He will be, if he's keeping Torah mitzvahs, he won't have Gehenna. And he'll have an okay life in Olam Hazeh. He's not going to get such a massive life in Olam Hazeh because God's not repaying him for his reward of Olam Hazeh. Hashem's going to pay him in Olam Haba. But it's a pretty limited Olam Haba. So it's Olam Haba, spiritual. Great. It's better than anything down here. It's better than anything down here, but it's a limited level. The next is someone who serves God. Me'ahava. He is aware who the Creator is, and he's in love with his Creator. And he does things because when someone who you love is Jerusalem, you do. That's what we call Lishma. Sakta Ramban, someone who is entirely Lishma. He's serving God out of love. And again, he's keeping Torah and mitzvahs. We're not discussing Roshon. A guy who's keeping Torah and mitzvahs, he's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. And it's Lishma. He will have peiros ba'olam hazeh, have a good life, not that superb life of the first guy who's getting paid for everything in Olam Hazeh. But he'll have a good life, as it says, V'hoyim shemoat ishmu el mitzvozai. As all the blessings say in the Pesukim. He'll have a good life. He'll have a good life. Better than the second class guy. Second class guy, he wasn't a Hava. He'll have an okay life. This guy, the guy who serves God from a Hava, he'll have a good life. A good life. And not only that, it won't diminish anything from his Olam Haba. Because he's doing it all with pure intent. All the Shema. He's going to get it. And that we say, Eitz Chaim Yom Lachzik Yivo, right? We say, Orech Yomim Bimina, B'smola Osher V'chol. It says, those that involve themselves with Torah, the leftists, get wealth and honor. The rightists, the ultra-right, you know, the right wing, they get Orech Yomim. The Gemara says, hey, we're getting cheated out of something. You know, hey, the right wing guys are only getting Orech Yomim. What about the wealth? Oh, they'll have wealth also. But the Iker, the people that are Bimina, the righties, meaning Lishma, Me'ahava, the Iker is the Orech Yomim. Orech Yomim always refers to in Olam Haba. The Iker is, they're going to be getting full fledged Olam Haba. They will also have Osher V'chavod Olam Hazeh. But that's not the Iker. They'll have Osher V'chavod, they'll have a good life. The smolim, the leftists, the ones that are doing lo lishma, they don't get Olam Haba. They're going to have massive Osher V'chavod. That's what the Rambam says. And then there's another madrega of a person who is so ahava and so l'shem shemayim, but he also is not at all involved in this world. At all. He's a parish. He doesn't care about the world. He's not interested in the world. He doesn't have a cheshek for the world. He's not interested. And he is alike. He's comparable to Eliyahu. He's at like a whole different level. He's like a malach. And therefore, since Olam Hazeh to him is negligible, he couldn't kill us for it. He won't get it. There's no reason for it. For him, it's meaningless. As Maran HaRashiva Zatzal used to say about Yaakov and Esav getting the brachas from Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, Yaakov doesn't need Olam Hazeh to keep him happy. I'm going to give the brachos of Olam Hazeh to Esav. The poor guy. The poor guy is living a depressed life if he doesn't have Olam Hazeh. Let him have Olam Hazeh. He should have some source of happiness. But Yaakov didn't need it. Yaakov will stick to his spirituality. He doesn't need it. For the one who doesn't need it, there's no reason to distract him, possibly, or run the dangers of distracting him from his avodah. He won't have it. It's not like it causes him pain. It doesn't bother him anyway. He's not interested in all that. The Shmuel Bar Mel's house, you know, he had millions of dollars going through his hands. People give him for any purpose he wanted. Let's just chat anything you want. You want to do casual, anything. And everything went to snuck. I've been in this house. I don't know how many times.
Nothing.
Bare walls. Parquet floor. Dull and scratched. Mismatched chairs. Rickety table. The couch with the cushions popping out of it. Nothing. He was the happiest man around. I have no doubt if he would have cared so much to put in any effort into Olam Hazeh, he would have had it all. Every time he flew to Eretz Yisrael, the Baal Bakim all came and offered him first class tickets. And he says, that was a neder, because he wanted to be mechaber to Talmud Chacham and spend $5,000 on a first class ticket. I'm going to Academy, that extra $4,000 hand over, and I'm going to distribute it in Eretz Yisrael. Every time I went there, it's not. Now Fritzke could testify, and Ruby Schwong could testify. They could all testify. That's what happened. Any time they offer it, he would say, it's a shame. I'm going to have to either get a heter on it, be shawl on an ender, or give me the money if I could give it the other way. It was negligible, right? Olam Hazeh was negligible. There are the very great few that are like that. And they won't have it all of my Zach because they couldn't kill us for it anyway. Don't just say. So now when we look around at the world and sometimes we wonder, those stories of those tzaddikim that are poor, those are the very, very few elite people, the like of Eliyahu Hanavi that the Rambam says. That all of that doesn't mean anything for them. They couldn't kill us for the riches, so they won't have the riches. Someone who serves God may have a, but he has some lot of an involvement in all of that. V'osavta d'ganecha. He's working the field. He's serving God me'ahava. But he's working in the field. He has an involvement with all of that. He'll have all of that. And it won't diminish a drop for us. This works perfectly with the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. That we all know the very, very famous thing we all end off Perkei Avos with. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezakos Es Yisrael Lafika Chirbalem Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Hashem HaFeis L'man Tidko. What does that mean? Because God willed to merit Jews, He increased for them Torah and Mitzvahs. Zot the Rambam. All a guy needs to get to Olam Haba is one mitzvah Lishma. Of course you do a lot Lishma, but you get a lot more Olam Haba. But the world of Olam Haba is a world of reality and spirituality. To get there, you need at least one drop of real spirituality. Most of our lives and most of our mitzvahs are tainted with some level of not spirituality. There's a lot of low lishmas that go into everything we do. Everything we do. And that's what they say, Al Pi Kabbalah was the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra. Das is a lashon of connection, chibur. When a man knows his wife, it means when they get together. They have a relationship. It's called knowing. Knowing is a connection. Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra is the eitz that brought together Tov and Ra. Every Tov now is intertwined with a little drop of materials. Zok the Rambam, that's why God increased so many opportunities. You're going to hit the jackpot sometime. Somewhere throughout your life, of all these mitzvot that God gave, all these opportunities, one of them is bound to be lishma. And with that, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelech Olam Haba. Any guy who's at least worthy enough to still be considered a Yisrael, some people are not. Right? We say Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelech Olam Haba, and then there are people that are numbered as Ein Lo Chelech Olam Haba. Those people can't even really be called Yisrael. Kol Yisrael. Someone who's still deserving of the title Yisrael, don't worry. If he deserves the title Yisrael, that means he's living the life of a Jew. He's living the life of a Jew. He's bound to hit something. Lishma. The more we do Lishma, the more Olam Haba. The less, the more Olam Hazeh. The more materialistic our mitzvahs are, the more physically God could pay for them. So the Rambam works perfectly well with the Ramban in this issue. And that's why I like to understand this, how God pays Rishayim and Olam Hazeh. I think that would be the sheet of the Ramban and the Rambam both. That if your mitzvah is materialistic, that's all it is. Schar mitzvah b'hayal malekha applies to a spiritual mitzvah. Spirituality cannot be paid with any physical. Do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, go. I'm just going to end off with one point.
You just bring all this to the other?
Zok Reb Tzadik HaKoyim. You ready?
Yeah.
Why are Yisurim so valuable? We all know Yisurim are a kapara. Right? We say Zol Zayin a kapara. Oh, you got a little fender bender. Zol Zayin a kapara. You stub your toe. Zol Zayin a kapara. Everything a kapara. Why is Yisurim a kapara? To the extent that the Vilna Gaon was once giving a shir to his Talmidim, and he was describing to them Gehenim the way the Vilna Gaon saw Gehenim. And one of his Talmidim took it so to heart that he got deathly ill.
What?
From his tremendous stress and fear from the presentation of the Gra, he got ill. And he was laid to bed. And when the Talmidim told the Vilna Gaon that his Talmud became sick, he went to be Mevaker Chola. And he went in, and all the Talmidim were expecting him to, water down the Gehenim stuff a little, let the guy get better.
Came in.
He walked in. And he said, listen up, the shmooze I gave you about Gehenim, I am not changing an iota from what I said. It's exactly as I described. But you can never properly evaluate the great worth of pain in Olam Hazeh. What's pain in Olam Hazeh? Dr. Gemara. He sticks his hand into his pocket. He's looking for a nickel. Pulls out a dime. Pulled out the coin. Zog the Gemara. That's Yisur. That's pain. That's pain. Zog the Gemara. That's Yisur. Why? Because a Jew who's living in constant relation with God, everything is supposed to go perfectly smoothly. We have hashgacha pratis. God doesn't just overlook us, like bird's eye view, like a bunch of Jews. Every single act of ours, God is aware and giving siyata d'shmaya. Everything should go right. Even the slightest thing of pulling out the wrong coin is pain. It's an inconvenience. If not for sin, you would not have had to go through that.
Opening up the...
Can you imagine?
Isn't sin a little bit of Gehenna in this world, though? Not sin, but...
The question is why? How? How does a little pain, physical pain in this world, the same way we had the question the other way around, how can God pay a rush reward in this world? You have the same question in reverse. How can God pay up for Gehenna in this world? Gehenna is horrible stuff. You got the wrong coin. What does that do for you?
You can't run with the same explanation.
Right?
I'm going to run through
that. So what's pshat?
I'm going to do page by page.
What's pshat? So good, so good. Some people answer a simple answer, and they say that's me, that's our argument.
What?
That's Midas Rachamim. That's God's kindness.
Yeah, but what?
He can knock off Gehenna with some pain on him.
It's both pain.
But what?
It's okay. It's okay. But I think you can enjoy this approach.
That doesn't sit with me right because...
It's okay. No, because Midas Hadin has to work 100% mechanical. There's no room. There's no room for any going beyond the letter. You can't do anything that's not 100% scientific. when you're dealing with din. So God owes me reward. How could he pay me in another mazeh? There's got to be a mechanics to it. But amidas harachamim, God's kindness, you know, he'd rather not give us the ganim. So it's okay. I hear it. But I think we have a much better approach. Zakrib Tzadik HaKoyin in the Sefer Tzidkas Tzadik. It's his third to the last piece in the Sefer. You ready? Unbelievable. It says as follows. What is the food of the soul? What gives us energy? What makes us alive? You know what he says? Pleasure. Not food.
Physical?
Food. Carbohydrates. To be specific. Carbohydrates broken down into simple sugars, calories, is what energizes the body. Mm-hmm. What energizes the nefesh? What energizes that stuff? But there's a lot behind the body, right? Everybody knows there's something called stamina that doesn't depend on carbohydrates. Stamina is the power of the mind over the body, right? What powers the energy in the soul, or if you want to say the mind? Sakrib Tzadik, pleasure. You can have two people eating the exact same meal. Exact same calories, exact same everything. The one who enjoyed it, because it's his taste and his, you know, the way he likes it, he's going to walk away with a little lighter foot. He's going to walk away with a little more spunk from that meal. Pleasure gives more person. Pain kills a person.
Therefore,
I'm not talking about life and death in terms of the basic, the heart, beep beep beep. Not talking about. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows, right? That happy, energetic guy, he's more alive. The guy who's down and depressed, he's dead.
Yeah.
Right? He's dead. That's what he is. But it's true. It's not just a phrase that we have in English. The Tzadik HaKoyin says that is what gives life is pleasure. Pleasure is capable of producing more life in you. Pain that lets you down, you feel down, kills you. Killing you makes you feel dead. There's many levels to dead, but it makes you feel dead. A guy goes and he does an Aveira, and he takes joy in that Aveira. You know what just happened? Do you know what just happened? He is right now living off of sin. The life energy in his body right now is a life energy feeding off of sin, feeding off of distance from God. That's what it's feeding off of. Now you get rid of that?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta die.
I thought it's not a problem.
You gotta die. You get stuck in traffic, you're in bad mood. How do you feel?
Terrible.
Dead.
Useless.
When one gets life out of a sin, you have to get that life out of him. He's living off of sin. It's the exact same thing that we said with the body. The only way to repurify the body is to decompose it and recreate it. So when one is living, he's got life energy in him from sin. The way to get rid of that is a little pain. You feel a little down. To the extent of pleasure and life energy that you got off of a sin, that's how much pain and feeling dead you're going to need to get rid of that amount of life energy that you have in you from sin. That's how you sort of happen.
And then little more when it comes, what about there are certain things which are painful, for instance, which is a mitzvah. Learn certain parts of Torah.
Gevaldik!
It's very hard.
Zakrib Tzadik!
Somebody sits there and
do you know what that is? That's kapora on steroids! Because what you're doing then is you're replacing, you're killing any ra in your body and you're replacing it with a mitzvah. When you have to put in effort, any level, we're talking such minute levels of Yisurim, the minutest level of the inconvenience of pulling out your own coin. When you inconvenience yourself to the slightest level for a mitzvah, you just killed some of the life energy from you that was caused by Avera, and you're putting into it instead food for the soul, a mitzvah. But there's something you can even do that's greater. A greater kapar. And this is what works beautifully with what we said when we started off. That a guy who does a mitzvah from Simcha, he gets life energy out of a mitzvah. The guy is walking on a cloud. He's living off of a mitzvah. It's even greater than Yisurim for the sake of a mitzvah. Yisurim, just general Yisurim, will be a kapar. Because bottom line is, you're knocking out the life energy that came from sin.
Yeah, but what about?
Yisurim for a mitzvah is even greater.
What about
because you're replacing it with positive spirituality. But when you experience joy from a mitzvah, you enjoy a mitzvah. You know what mitzvah we all enjoy? Onik Shabbos! It's a mitzvah we all enjoy. Oneg Shabbos. Hey, brother. Bring out the cholent. Oneg Shabbos. Enjoying Shabbos. When you enjoy a mitzvah, that's the greatest possible height that you can come to. Because you're getting life energy. You're enlivening yourself. It's even greater than Yisurim. Greater than Yisurim for the sake of a mitzvah. You're living off of the mitzvah. That's not going to take care of the aver. The aver, you're going to need the Yisurim to knock off the aver. So there's two things. When you put an effort into a mitzvah, when you inconvenience yourself for a mitzvah, you're killing any bad life that you have in you from a sin. That's one thing. And when you experience joy from a mitzvah, forget, you're doing the best possible for yourself. You're planting in yourself the life energy that is based on spirituality. And with that...
Question. When you said you get more schar in inconveniencing yourself for a mitzvah. If you inconvenience yourself, Does the reason have to be because you just inconvenienced yourself because you want to, or because you have to? One thing, like, for instance, best example that I have, like, I can go daven Shabbos or Shabbos or any time right across the street from my house, or I have 20 shuls that are a little bit further away that I can go to.
If the inconvenience
is not... in the morning, at any night, the only place I have to go is Landau's.
If the inconvenience did not facilitate the mitzvah.
What do you mean by facilitate it?
If that didn't help you in any way do a mitzvah, then it's just extra yisur. We're discussing effort or inconvenience or pain that facilitated a mitzvah.
So you had to go through that pain.
Right.
You mean you didn't choose to
extra
go through
yisurim
that pain.
Will be a kapara, but that has nothing to do with a mitzvah. You go and bedavka daven somewhere far away, good. You put in extra effort, it's yisurim, it'll be a kapara, but you don't have that level of yisurim that are facilitating a mitzvah. If the further away place you'll daven better, then yes, you are putting in a little more pain, a little more effort for spirituality, for the sake of davening better. So I think with what we've discussed, we can have a little better view of pain in Olam Hazeh, schar b'Olam Hazeh, peiros, the fruits of mitzvos b'Olam Hazeh, whereas the principle really remains in Olam Hazeh. And it's a little incentive that we have for three things here. Number one, you know, you're tired. All right, you know what? One more line of whatever Sefer was. Huge stuff. Slightest inconvenience for the sake of a mitzvah. Huge stuff. Simcha shal mitzvah is awesome. And then there's the general aspect that we should try to make a goal to attain serving God. Lishma, me'ahava. Not being so materialistic that everything is lo lishma. Very often, some mitzvahs we have more lishma, and some mitzvahs we have less lishma. But it's something to make a goal out of, to work towards lishma. Because working towards lishma, you get both. Ol haba.
The Holy Guardian writes that